Today's episode is brought to you by Slay House Publishing, recorded at Wayne Howard Studios.
Hey everybody, welcome to Slay House Publishing presents Lit Bits. I am Jeremy, and with me as always is Trevor and Curtis.
I'm here.
Hey there.
Hey guys, today we're going to talk about our trip to StokerCon. That was a trip that we took.
We took that trip. We were on that trip for what seemed like 3,000 years. We were on that trip.
Like the audiobook we listened to where they were...
Yes, you know what? It was oddly appropriate. We were listening on the way there to Numenon by Marina J. Lostetter. Which is about a starship that takes like 1,000 years to get to a star. And it felt that way.
Because it felt like it took us 1,000 years to get across Kansas.
Drive across Kansas.
So I guess we just want to share today with our just kind of our experiences and what happened. So the first thing I learned was don't drive through Kansas.
Period.
That was it. I really think... There are two states I just refuse to drive through, and it's Kansas and Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma, I don't know what you're paying for when you go through roads in Oklahoma.
I have said the same thing every time I pay a toll there.
Yeah. You sure as hell are not paying for that road.
Yeah. You're lying in somebody's pockets for sure.
You got to change your tires when you get home after Oklahoma.
Kansas, and your shocks and your whole car. I mean, you may as well just... pitch it when you're done.
I had actually, after I made the comment when we were driving through Kansas, I actually had a dream about that where I'd made this comment when we stumble upon the wind turbines that are just kind of going off in the distance and they're just all over the place.
Yeah.
And I made this comment. I said, this looks like a pinwheel for a very large toddler. And then I had a dream about that, like trying to drive and seeing this like gigantic child just come and pick up one of those wind turbines as like a pinwheel and... kind of blow on it. I was like,
so what you're saying
is a nightmare.
This is going to be a published short story in next year's StokerCon.
I think you're onto something there.
Sure. Yeah, I think so. I do think I was a little disappointed when we got into Colorado and it still looked like Kansas for a while.
I
was like, what the hell, man?
I had been talking up the mountains the whole time. We're going to see the Rockies. You don't see the Rockies until you're like maybe 40 miles outside of Denver. And for a good moment there, I was like, did I just gaslight myself into believing there were mountains out there?
Start getting real nervous. Everybody's looking at you. Trevor, where are the mountains?
Where are the mountains, Trevor?
I don't know, you're a liar, are you?
It was fine with my wife and my dog looking at him, but it was especially unnerving when I'm looking at him and I'm driving the car.
It's all on you.
Except we're in Kansas, so it's not really going anywhere. So it's like as long as I'm just heading in a straight line, we're fine.
Keep your lines straight.
Well, I'm glad you guys had a good time.
So we've offended all 50 people that live in Kansas.
Hey, now. There are 52 until my parents leave.
That's true.
It's mostly cows that live in Kansas.
Yeah. Sorry, cows.
Yeah, the drive was rough. I think the drive back was a little bit better. Of course, I was like zonked for most of the drive back.
Both you and my wife were. You guys were out.
We kept passing out like every 20 miles. It was like, all right, turning off the brain again. But the way there, it was rough, man. It was a hard drive.
Yeah, I believe you. That sounds rough.
Yeah.
So we got to Denver. I think we made our way downtown pretty easy. All three of us, me, my wife, and Trevor, have all had experience driving in different large cities. Yeah. So it's not like we're, you know, a bunch of hicks coming from like super small town to which lane do I get in? I mean, I grew up in Houston. My wife grew up in Chicago. You grew up in and around Denver.
Upstate New York.
Yeah. We've all had experience driving. So I don't think there was anything to really talk about with getting into the city.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about something about getting into the city, though.
Go ahead.
Right? Yeah. So I did have a conversation with one of the shareholders of, or not share, board members, I guess is the better way, the board members of StokerCon, and was trying to get him to be like, will you bring StokerCon to Northwest Arkansas? And he was like, I don't know. Like, he really turned up his nose at it. And he was like, send me pictures of Northwest Arkansas. And I was like, bro, I will send you pictures of Denver. because this place is a shithole.
Yeah.
Like, for real. Yeah. I've never seen so much trash in one city than the plastic blowing around Denver on the, like, as we were driving through Denver. And what was hilarious is, like, you see all these billboards and it's like, keep Denver clean. And
or don't. Like, you know, whatever works for you.
Like, who's working for this nonprofit or whatever? It's like, keep Denver clean. We pass by, like, a Denver recycling, you know, whatever. I was like, are you even doing your jobs out here?
What was that billboard? Did you see that billboard that said something like plastic isn't even being recycled or something like that? Like,
Yeah. Like, there was like some political hotbed, like plastic isn't being recycled. I was like, well, no shit. Like,
it's like all over the freaking interstate.
Look at the state of this town.
You'd have to gather it up first.
Of course not, if you're just throwing it out your window.
Maybe they think it's one of Earth's natural processes.
I guess. I don't know.
Plastic just recycles. Yeah.
I love the mountains. I want to get back there at some point and really just take a trip to the mountains. I've been to a number of cities, and Denver was kind of disappointing.
I mean, I know a lot of people actually had a decent time, they said, like cruising around Denver, seeing Denver. I didn't really care that much because, again, growing up, I grew up in Colorado, so I spent a lot of time in Denver. It's never been super special to me.
And we did. I mean, Carrie and I did take some time to cruise around, and we did see some sights, and there were some very nice people there. I really don't want to come off like I just...
No, I think the people we met were great, but also, like, I saw some stuff that, like, you know, that just sticks with you.
Yeah.
I went to go get coffee one morning. I'm going to share this story because it's wild. I went to go get coffee. It's about 6:20 in the morning, and I come up to the Starbucks, and there's this dude who steps outside the Starbucks. He's got this drink made mostly of milk and ice, I guess. And he steps outside and he opens up the cup and he pours it over his head and he's shouting the whole time, going,
"Ah!
Ah! Oh, God. I want my mommy!" And then he like ran into the middle of the street, took off all his clothes, including his shoes, and then ran off down the street. Just running with his hands in the air.
How is that not one of the first things you told me when you got
back? I'm telling you.
He was saving it for the podcast.
It was wild. I went to go get a sandwich another night, and I saw this dude in like a construction jacket.
Different guy.
No, he's a different guy.
He does this a lot. Yeah.
And he was doing this weird, like, I thought he was doing some kind of interpretive dance or something. Like, I really couldn't tell what was going on. Heroin. It was just heroin.
Oh, my God.
So I'm, like, passing by him, and his eyes are rolled up in the back of his head, and he's singing to himself, going, like, and he's shaking crazy.
How weird
to see something like that, man. I thought he was doing a dance from a distance, and then I was like, hold on, man, this is Denver.
We were out walking the dog, and I saw a guy just kneeling down, and there was tons of people out. And this guy's just kneeling down. He has these crazy eyes. He's watching everybody. And then he goes down. He's very, like, clearly taking a hit off, like, a crack pipe or something. Like, he's like... And then he comes up, and his eyes are just wild. And it's like, okay, this is, like...
And welcome to Denver.
Sheesh.
Yeah. And again, I don't want our listeners to think that, you know, again, we're not just some hicks. Like I grew up in Houston. My wife grew up in Chicago. You grew up in... we've been to big cities, all three of us.
But I've seen some drug users in my time too.
Yeah, exactly.
The first time I think I talked about this on another show, but Government Day growing up in Kansas when I was in high school, I went to Government Day and they took me to the county jail for some reason and showed me all the meth heads that were in county jail. And like, they were like, yeah, so we're at capacity now. And I'm like, this is okay. What are all these people here? And the sheriff just looked at me and she goes, meth. I was like, okay, bro.
They're all in trouble for being addicted. Yeah.
I mean, Yeah, we've all. I feel like we can all have those. Even like you guys here at the Curtis and stuff. I think you guys would have similar stories. But I mean, like I remember seeing like a police chase in downtown Chicago. I mean, like cars just chasing like it was something straight out of the TV show. I just haven't seen something so rampant. As what we saw.
I've never gone out to go get a sandwich and just seen a dude just blitzing heroin.
Well, you think that stuff maybe is more common now than it was, a while back?
You know what? I don't even know. It could be because, I mean, growing up, I always had my parents around to run interference or, like when we went to downtown Denver, because we would go to like Elitch Gardens and stuff like that, which is the theme park there.
Yeah.
We would never see those people, right? I remember walking with my grandfather, we would walk to Coors Stadium in Denver, and I think the only time I ever saw a drug dude was he was being arrested by the cops, and he was pleading with the cops to let him out of his handcuffs because he had an itch that he needs scratched. those were the only memories that I really have of there being anything in Denver. But
I guess you're just going to run into a lot of that when you venture out places like that, huh?
Yeah, when you're an adult and you're out on your own, I mean, maybe it's more visible. Maybe Deep it Element. Is a bigger problem now. I don't really know, because I was explaining to Jeremy, I think the previous time I had been to Denver was maybe 16, 17 years ago, something like that. I mean, it really has been a long time.
We used to spend a lot of time in Deep Elm in Dallas, and you'd see stuff like that out there for sure.
Yeah.
And when you're in a band and you're just trying to unload your trailer, and then some person just wanders up and they're like in your face, and it's just like, hi, and you just try to keep moving like normal, like it's not happening.
And maybe it is. Maybe it is worse. I mean, I remember spending time in downtown Dallas too, and just not noticing it as much. So maybe it is. Maybe it has gotten worse. I do regret that I never got to like any shop that like sold edibles, because it's all legal in Colorado.
Right. Yeah.
So. Damn it. Got to go back, guys. We got to go back. I don't think
I'm not making that drive.
No. I'm flying next time. So we're in Denver. So we get set up at the Curtis Hotel in downtown Denver. And I don't know. How do we want to talk about this? How do we want to address StokerCon and our experience?
Okay, well, number one, the Curtis Hotel was the weirdest and most difficult hotel I've ever been to.
Naturally.
Yeah, of course. The layout of the hotel made no goddamn sense whatsoever. They locked all of the doors above the conference floors. So in order to get to the conference floors, most of the time you had to take the elevator. But the elevator only fits like four or five people at a time.
And there were four elevators, but there only seemed like there were two running it.
Right, and there are 600 attendees to StokerCon. It was just, it was outrageous.
And you have to use your key to get on the elevator to like go up to the room. Like you have to use your key on the elevator before you can hit the floor to your room.
Oh, wow.
It was just, I understand why it is the way that it is, but I also was just very frustrated with it, because it was like, this is really just not a good venue for this kind of an event.
Right.
Not with so many people. And thank goodness that StokerCon wasn't a bigger event, because if there had been more people, I think it just would not have been supportable.
So we were the only people there with a dog. Well, until the very last day.
The only people, attending StokerCon with a dog.
Yeah, attending StokerCon with a dog. Actually had the dog there.
Yeah.
Which actually served a pretty good purpose. I mean, I met
a lot of people.
I met Jennifer McMahon.
Yeah, I think that was definitely a highlight, was talking to Jennifer McMahon, who is an author of, some of her bigger books have been, The Winter People. The Children on the Hill is the one that just released, a month ago.
She's an alumni of Goddard, like I am. We both went to the same graduate program, just at different times. And so that's kind of how I introduced myself. But then I was like, we were talking and I mentioned something about my dog being with me. And she was like, oh, I think I saw him earlier. And then that last day when she had come into the room where we were all set up. Yeah. She makes a beeline for my dog. She's like, oh, I love this dog. She is a lab too. So she's like, I love this dog. And she's like crouching and loving on him. And I should have gotten a picture of
so lesson learned. That was increased traffic with a dog.
Yeah.
I think, my greatest regret was that I didn't take any pictures.
You met
anything.
A lot more people than I did.
And I met a ton of people and had some, like, some people that I dearly love their art. And I was super upset with myself in retrospect that I didn't get any pictures with anybody. I think part of that is that I don't consider myself photogenic, and so I don't like taking photos.
It just doesn't occur to you.
And it has never occurred to me to, like, snap a selfie with somebody.
Right.
And I do regret that, but... yeah, I think Jennifer McMahon was definitely a highlight. I got to have a fun little moment with her on an elevator. That was kind of fun. She was just there, and I was like, "Are you Jennifer McMahon?" She's like, "Yes, I am." And I was like,
"You bet your ass, I am."
I was like, "I love your books." Like,
I'm not trying to weird you out. Yeah.
Not trying to be weird, but
like you.
Now that we're stuck on this elevator together.
Right. No, she was really gracious about it. Anytime I ran into her later,
he's got his finger on door closed.
I have questions for you. I'm not gonna lie. I presented some major, like, creepo energy at times, and it wasn't because I was trying to be a creep. It was just because, like, I genuinely love these people's art.
And here's our quick PSA, though. If Trevor did creep you out at StokerCon, please realize that he does not represent all of Slay House's viewpoints.
Yeah.
So
no,
are not responsible for if Trevor creeped you out.
No, it was like I ran up to Laurel Hightower, who was another, she was definitely a highlight of the con for me. I met Laurel Hightower, and I ran up to her, and I was like, "Laurel Hightower." And and she was like, "Yes." I'm like, "I'm Trevor. I want to be friends." And she was super gracious about it. I think I creeped out Sonora Taylor a little bit because she was talking about it to Laurel, and I was like, I know your face. She's like, "I'm Sonora." And I was like, "Sonora Taylor, I know you too." Oh my God.
Like, you're making these people feel really special all day.
But they are special, though. You know?
Totally. Yeah.
I feel like I accidentally ambushed Daniel Krause, and I was like, you're Daniel Krause. And he's like, "Yes, I am." And I was like, "I love Shape of Water." Like,
Jeremy has to keep, like, grabbing the back of your t-shirt and dragging it.
Well, Jeremy wasn't even there. That was the funny thing. I was just running up to these people.
If I was, I would unhook the dog from the leash and put it on Trevor. Yeah. Like,
reel him in. Sorry, everyone. He gets excited.
Right. Down, boy, down. I get the newspaper and start
exactly
smacking him in the nose.
Vibe. Exactly the vibe.
He likes new people.
Yeah, this is Trevor. Just let him do his thing. He'll get it out of his system. Yeah. I got to have a fun conversation with Grady Hendrix. That was really awesome. I shared with him some of my experience being just like a super conservative Christian boy. Like, I was the picture of the Christian altar boy. And which is funny because if you meet Grady Hendrix, and I mean this with all politeness, he definitely fits that picture too.
Yeah. We saw Stephen Graham Jones, but we didn't get to meet him. We
saw him from afar.
And that's thankfully because he ended up testing positive for COVID.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Fortunately, I've been kind of watching the numbers, and good on the institution. They required vaccines for everybody who attended, and I think I've only heard 6 people tested positive for COVID.
And they encouraged masks, which you and I and Carrie did.
We wore masks pretty much the whole time. There were a couple of moments when I wasn't wearing a mask just because I was trying to hydrate. I was so dehydrated. I forgot that that high and that dry a climate, you really need to be pushing water all
right.
the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was not. But I think that on the whole, looking back and seeing that not very many people had COVID or contracted COVID there. That was really good. I know that I tested myself twice. I tested before I went. I tested at the event, and then I tested as soon as I got home. And thankfully was, negative the whole time from all the people I talked to, because I talked to a lot of people.
Yeah. shared some elevators even.
Yeah, shared some elevators very enthusiastically. There were a lot of great people that I met that I really liked. I had a nice conversation with Sonora Taylor. Very excited to read some of her books. I picked up a lot. I brought up a list of all the books that I picked up. I picked up Without Condition by her, one of her novels. Very excited about that. I had a great time talking to Black Cat Press.
Yeah.
Which is Francesca Maria and Mark Cossey. They make these comic books with the main characters, the narrator is a black cat who, you know, explains the story. Had a lovely time talking to them. They had a booth right next to our booth. And it was like any time I was watching the booth, I was really talking to Mark about comic books the whole time. He was super cool. And Francesca,
he'd been to a lot of comic book conventions, hadn't he?
He had, yeah. Yeah. Francesca shared with me her experience as a writer and, a writer for comic books even. Her love of Neil Gaiman. It was really awesome to make that connection. Connected with a guy named Brian McCauley. He's got a book coming out in October that I think is going to be a pretty cool book. I'm really excited about it. I'm still waiting on him to send me an advance review copy so I can feel special. But
there you go. Were people was there any cosplay going on?
No, I feel like it would be weird to cosplay any of these books because.
Well, I mean, StokerCon, you know, it makes me imagine, like, people are dressed like vampires.
I mean, there were a couple of people in some interesting outfits, but I wouldn't necessarily call it cosplay.
No, there's no cosplay. Yeah. It was just like, you know, people dress up for the Stoker Awards. That was Saturday night that they were all dressed up classy.
Oh.
You know, people wore some interesting outfits, I think, but for the most part, it was, you know, it's just a bunch of horror writers who are thinking about their craft, thinking about how they can connect to other people, grow their audiences, and also just, you know, celebrate the cool books that they've written.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and on the other side of this, we also had Weird Punk Books, and I want to give them a shout out because they were really fun and really interesting to talk to.
Yeah, I liked being in the dealer room quite a bit because, you know, it was a great opportunity to meet some of the other people who are, you know, either writing or selling books. I had a really great talk with Holly Lynn Walrath.
I think that's Walrath.
Yep. Yeah.
And we both got a copy of her book of poetry.
Yeah, so she wrote a book of poetry called, I think it's Smallest of Bones. That I fell in love with. I read that book while we were at the con. I was so excited about it. And I just think that she's a brilliant poet. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it other than go get that book of poetry. You know, I think her poetry was really beautiful and poignant. Had a lot of conversation about... like love and agency and you know the hurt of I think human relationships,
right?
And as a collection of dark poetry, you know, venturing into horror, I think that it was really profound, like very 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 well crafted and poignant. You know, I felt like it was almost every other poem I was reading. I had to almost put the book down and stop for a second because I was like, I need to process this.
I might want to check that out.
Really awesome. Yeah, I love it. I thought her poetry was awesome and getting to talk to her and was great. I would never have encountered her poetry if she weren't in that room,
right?
You know, with us. And that's the sort of thing that I love about a convention like this, because I went in knowing, like, I'm here to see some of my favorite authors. Of course, I'm here to fawn over Jennifer McMahon and Daniel Krauss. I also went in knowing, like, I had just read Laurel Hightower's Crossroads. That book is amazing, and I could not wait to talk to Laurel about her book and about how brilliant she is, you know. That was awesome. But I also found some new writers, to me anyway.
Yeah.
That I'm very enthusiastic about, you know, like really gorging myself on their work. Sina Pelayo was one. I went to a reading of hers, and her work is astonishing. She really has an incredible voice. Usman T. Malik, this is a guy that I had not heard of before. He writes some fantasy and some dark fantasy. He's got a story in Dark Stars, the new anthology out by Nightfire. And I heard some of his reading, or a reading from one of his stories, which blew me away. It was absolutely gorgeous. And it hit all of the notes that were all of the things that I love of world literature. Right.
Cool.
It was a very profound piece of work that he had done, kind of readapting some stories from 1001 Nights, which is a classic of world literature, right? It just some really brilliant writers that I think I never would have stumbled onto.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about doing those types of things is that you really don't know what you're going to run into. You know, your expectations make up about 10% of what actually ends up happening, right?
Right.
I've been thinking about going to, you know, this and that convention because, man, the contacts and the experience, it's pretty wild. If you just get out there and do it, you'd be pretty surprised what you come across.
And we've seen those numbers. We've seen those kind of translate to followers and people we're in turn following on social media and engagement. And
I gained like almost 40, maybe even more than 40 followers just by, you know, shaking hands and meeting people. And I'm not so concerned because just gaining a follower doesn't necessarily mean they're going to tune in, you know, to the stuff that we do. But I think that some of them will. You know, I've already started to see some of these people reach out to me and talk about their projects, which I think is amazing. And I think it's really cool, too, that, you know, now they've gained me as an audience member.
Right.
And my hope is that, you know, by gaining me as an audience member, I can turn some other of our listeners onto them.
Right.
And say, you know, if you haven't read Daniel Krauss yet, you got to read Daniel Krauss.
Yeah.
But, you know, go out and read Sina Pelayo because her stuff is incredible. Go read Holly Lynn Walrath because she's incredible.
I have been looking for Sina Pelayo's book and it's been sold out like here and at Pearl's Books and at Barnes & Noble here. They just haven't had it. And they had a copy of Children of Chicago there at the convention, so I snatched it up. So I'm like...
I got one of those, too.
I am so excited to read that because I've heard a lot of good things about it.
And there were some other, big moments, I think, for some authors. Hayley Piper, for example, who is a... she's relatively new, I think, to the scene of horror. She just won a Stoker Award for her I think it's like best new novel or first novel or something like that for Queen of Teeth. And as a result of winning that award, now has a literary rep.
Congratulations, Haley.
Incredible achievement. I bought that book because I was like, I know that book is never going to be carried around here, but she had the book at the con and I was like, I am fucking going to read this book. Right. I'm so excited for it.
Yeah.
But as a result, you know, she got picked up by a literary agent and, I think a lot of her stuff is about to, you know, get repped to some pretty big publishers. And as a result, a lot of her backlog that does exist is gonna be phased out of existence as it's kind of reconstituted into, you know, a new form. Mm-hmm. The same thing I think is already happening with Eric LaRocca. His stuff is incredible. He's written, just for an example, Things Have Gotten Worse Since We Last Spoke. And that book went out of print almost, you know, it was like only on the market for a couple months and then went out of print because a much bigger publisher, you know, swooped in, gobbled it up, and is re-releasing it this September.
Right.
And that's, I think that sort of thing happens. And so going to these conventions, if you're a big fan of horror, if you're a writer or whatever, you know, this is, I think, a great opportunity to connect to these people and mm-hmm. get in, sort of on the ground floor of a lot of their work, because not all of that work is going to stay in print for forever.
Right.
And again, encountering new voices that I had not ever read before, that I was able to pick something up. And now that's part of my personal library, and you can't take it away from me.
I am really happy about the connections that we made, and I'm really happy about the exposure that Slayhouse received, or that we've gotten.
Yeah, let's talk about that, too.
We took 20 copies of both of our titles out right now. We took 20 copies of Tales of Slayhouse 2021 and 20 copies of A Mindful of Scorpions, and we came home with zero.
Yeah,
nice.
We sold a lot of them, which is great. It's always good for the bank account, but that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that we got these into the hands of readers.
Right.
So that increases our engagement. That gives us, like, transactionary kind of viewpoint of which I don't want to monetize it necessarily, but we were able to give something to a readership instead of just constantly taking.
I think what's most important to me about that, right, is coming to the con, we had books and we left with no books. I think what's important is that
well, none of our own books. We came back with a whole bunch of different books.
I bought a whole ton of fucking books.
We lost all of our books there. Yeah.
I went in with a. I remember being on the floor of the big mass author signing, and I'm like going around to all of these authors that I really love, and I was buying books, and I ran out of the money that I had budgeted for that moment, and I had to go run back up to. Well, first I came to Jeremy, and I was like, Jeremy, give me fucking $10 right now. And then I ran up to my room and I got, I got more money. I got
sorry,
chained.
Trevor. Payday is not until 2 weeks from today. You want an advance on your check?
Yeah. It was funny. It's just like how many books I found that I was like, I had gone in knowing, for example, like I'm gonna buy a book from V. Castro, like that's just I'm gonna do it. But then I run into KP Kulski and she's got books, and I was like, I have not read your stuff yet, but I want to. I was like, I knew she was there. She had her book, and I was like, all right, I'm fucking buying this. Because that's the sort of thing that happens.
Yeah,
and it was wonderful for that. But I coming back to getting all of your books out the door, I think that's really super awesome. Not just for you, because I think that there are readers out there in this community who are going to read your book. Hopefully they'll see your book, they'll love it, and they'll share it with their readership, with their followers, and you'll be able to connect to them a new way. I'm also super excited about how many copies we sold of Tales of Slayhouse 2021, because we've got some authors that we represent through that collection that I think desperately need to be read.
Yes.
We have some authors in there that I am super proud of the work that they've done for that anthology. I think that that anthology is killer. I stand by that, not just because I was involved with it, but because I really do think that's a great anthology.
Right.
And getting that to people so that they can, hopefully again see the work of the authors that are in there and then drive more of their followers to those same authors. I want that literature to circulate. I think the big takeaway for me from this experience really is just like how much I love stories and mm-hmm. how much I love art and how excited I was to be there to meet all of these people and to hear their stories and to encounter their art, whether it be, because they're my favorite authors or because they're my new favorite authors. It was just an awesome experience. And I think that the more we are interconnected and the more of each other's art we can see and celebrate, I think the richer we all become for that experience.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's great how accessible authors are. Mm-hmm. You can meet them. You can email them and stuff. Like,
well, that was the crazy thing.
And they
thing.
Reach out, yeah.
Yeah, like talking to Daniel Krause. I couldn't string two sentences together in front of Daniel Krause because every time I saw him, I told him at one point, I was like, someday I'll get over my hero adoration for you.
Yeah, a little starstruck.
Today's not the day, but someday, you know, I'll get over it. But he was so chill about it. He was so cool about it.
Yeah.
And I think that was just wonderful. Was like, you know, seeing someone like Laurel Hightower, whose book I just think is one of the best I've read, and being able to just have a conversation, a very down to earth conversation with her, was so cool.
My big takeaway is don't bring so many goddamn mugs.
Oh my god, mugs were so heavy to lug around.
How many did you take with you?
All 72.
Of them. How many did you come back with?
72.
Oh,
yeah.
My wife, God bless her, is in a permanent pretzel state from having to be crammed in the back seat with the dog on one side of the seat, and then the mugs like between her and the box of mugs. She's like.
She does so much.
She
yoga.
Looks like she's like out of a horror movie herself, like all twisted up she is.
Oh my god!
Something out of a Sam Raimi flick or something.
So listen, we've got mugs. You can order mugs through our website.
They are on the website.
We would love for you to buy a mug. It's got our logo on it. That was, I mean, just for the next con, right? We're not going to have mugs.
Is there are the mugs listed in one of your Patreon perks? You know, like
there is a mug on the cool. Patreon perk, yeah, but I'm actually going through and changing some of the, as we gather more book titles and stuff, I'm changing some of the pictures that are available on our Patreon perks. So actually people could subscribe to different tiers and actually get different merch with different pictures and different logos.
That's right. You can get some pictures of the sleigh siblings on our Patreon on some of the merch. You can choose which book you want.
The pictures of the sleigh siblings, that is such cool.
They are really, really cool.
They're really, really cool to look
at.
And
like, you can get a part of the Patreon perks. You can get a T-shirt with one of the sleigh siblings on it. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
There's a thing you can
do. It's pretty rad.
Of course, what Trevor and Curtis both missed out on was that long, long debriefing conversation with the Slay siblings after getting back from StokerCon.
Oh, God, I can't imagine.
Are we going to go there? Oh, man.
Well, I mean, you guys, I could have recorded it for you, but
did he put a skull on the desk when he's talking to you?
It was just a phone call. I didn't go see him.
Oh, you didn't meet? Okay.
No, that's, okay. It was a long enough. It was exhausting. I was already tired from the drive, and to get on that phone call.
I felt like they were pretty pleased.
Yeah, I think so.
That's good. That's all you need, right?
But yeah, well,
just tread that water.
You know, you never know what you're going to get into with the Slay siblings, because you sit down with any one of them, you don't know if it's going to be like a nice, you know, very quaint, normal chat, or if he's going to be telling you about the fucking history of that sword he's got in the background. You know, like it's just so bizarre.
Well, they did want to know why I didn't sell any mugs. And I'm like, you know, it's probably people just didn't want to travel with ceramic. Like, getting on planes.
That is a really good point.
So,
for sure. And also, to be fair, I mean, we're still small. I'm hoping that more people are going to see these mugs and be like, you know what? I love Stoker, or not Stoker, I love Slay House. I like what they're doing, and I really want to support them.
I mean, you said you got 40 new followers. Each one of those is a portal of access for, you know, an unknown amount of people. So
yeah. I mean, that's
a good thing.
I hope if you're listening and you're like, you know what, I would like a Slay House mug. Yeah. Well, go on over to slayhouse.com.
You know, I've
we'll
got
ship
one
them anywhere in the U.S.
I've got one and I really like it. Yeah, it's one of my favorite mugs.
I like mine too. Yep. For sure.
I love opening my mug thing and seeing something familiar like that, you know, rather than just some.
And it's a great way to support us, you know, as a small business. And
it
just
is,
kinda,
you know, even if you don't want to read our books, although I really can recommend those books because the books are great. Yeah. You can still, you know, support us by buying a mug.
And I'm really excited.
Take a picture with a mug.
Get a mug, guys.
I'm excited about the books we have coming out this year. We have a full slate coming this year.
So let's talk about the next big thing for Slay House, which is coming just a couple weeks away.
Yep.
Karen Huff's Ground Control.
Yes.
Yes.
Is coming out with a beautiful new cover. Thanks to at CDBW Design.
Yep.
For that one. Gorgeous cover and a beautiful book. Beautiful honestly, book. One of my favorite spec fiction reads from the last couple of years.
We're very proud to have this book in our collection.
And you got to get one, honestly, got to get one.
We have a collection of, after that, a collection of short stories and some poetry and a couple of short plays by Curtis Harrell, mm-hmm. a collection called Melpomene's Garden.
Yeah. If you're into the kind of, I don't even want to call it weird fantasy, but there's some dark fantasy in there or some like, you know.
Yeah, there's ghost stories, there's Southern fantasy, Gothic. There's
Southern Gothic folk stories.
Yeah.
If you're into, you know, kind of the folk horror, the homegrown horror scene, this is your place to go. I think that book is going to be really, really awesome. We're waiting on the cover to come in, but we'll, as soon as that's ready, you will see it on our Instagram and our Twitter if you follow us.
Yeah.
We have Tales of Slay House 2022.
That one is slated for October. Open submission call begins July 1st.
And slated people is spelled in this case S-L-E-Y-T.
T-E-D. Yeah, yeah.
Slated.
Very trademark.
Trademark. Trademark. Just, I mean, we said trademark, so that means that's automatically legally binding.
Yep.
It's ours. We've got another original novel coming out.
Yes.
Later this year.
Joe Taylor's Bad Form is coming out. We also have a couple of, and later this year, that's coming out probably, I'd say, late summer, maybe fall-ish, is when we ought to be able to get that one out. But also, and that's more of a Gaiman-esque kind of fantasy novel, I feel like. It's very Neil Gaiman. So I think if you enjoy that, I think you'll enjoy Joe Taylor's novel. And then we have a couple of other novels coming out later this year that'll, I think, will knock people's socks off as well, too. Those are still in the pipeline, so we don't want to overwhelm people with the number of titles. We'll introduce those as we get closer to them, I feel like.
Yeah, right.
Yep. The titles are on the website. You can see who, you know, title and author, but we'll introduce actually what the novels are about.
Yeah.
A little closer
to
time.
Yeah, so stay tuned. Keep in with us. You know, we'll drop all of this information in our podcast. We've got another guest lined up for the podcast in the near future.
Yep.
Really excited about that one. And we're already lining up our kind of summer programming. We're hoping to get a couple more guests to come in for that summer programming. But we're really excited either way about the stuff that is on the horizon. So,
yep.
StokerCon 2022 was a blast. We are just so excited to have gone there. I know I personally really cherish the little moments that I had here and there with people. Everyone was so gracious, and they were really, I don't think they were superficially interested in what we were doing. I think they genuinely took an interest in the stories that we have to tell and in the people we are. And
on the flip side, I feel like, you know, we were too. We were very genuinely interested in what everyone was doing and seeing what other people were producing and going to those panels.
If I bought a book from you at StokerCon, I hope you know, if you're listening, because you met me at StokerCon, I hope you know, I love you as a person, and I am so excited for your art, and I just cannot wait to get into it and to celebrate alongside you.
Yes. Trevor bought more books than I did, but I did buy quite a few myself. And to that note, if I didn't buy a book from you, it's just I kind of ran out of money.
I know that was a real thing. Like I definitely ran out of money on this trip. I budgeted very, very tightly for it. And I knew I was going to go over budget, and I ended up doing it. And I don't regret going over budget. I think I do regret the books that I left behind, but
yeah.
It is what it is.
It was very fun. We can't wait for StokerCon 2023. We can't wait for a couple of other conventions we're talking about going to kind of spread our wings and kind of become a more prominent members of these different communities, science fiction and thrillers and fantasies and, you know, these other genres that because we say from the, you know, we're not just horror. We focused a lot on horror, but at Slay House, we're a lot more than just horror. So this convention for me opened up that idea that we can go to more of these light conventions and explore these different communities and reach these different audiences.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm very, very excited for.
You think you might run into some of the same people if, you know, after you do three or four of these things?
I mean,
I think it's entirely possible.
Yeah. Maybe not. I mean, well, maybe. I mean, my goal is, with everyone we met at StokerCon, I do want to see them again at StokerCon and at a few other conventions, but I want to meet just as many people in the sci-fi community or in the fantasy community mm-hmm. when we go to those conventions.
Certainly, yeah.
We've talked a lot on this show about horror because I think, Jeremy, that's kind of your genre is horror.
Yeah.
My genre traditionally has actually been science fiction. I know a lot about fantasy, but fantasy is kind of a new realm for me as I'm discovering more of the quote-unquote modern classics, you know, that aren't Tolkien, but the stuff that has really created a lot of change in that field in the last 20 years. But I feel like science fiction has always been my home. Mm-hmm. And the prospect of you know, branching out and learning more about the voices in these other genres is really exciting to me as well.
Yep. All right, everybody. I'd say that's probably a wrap for what we've had to say here today. I think we covered StokerCon pretty well.
StokerCon.
And we want to thank everybody for listening. We want to thank all of our Patreon subscribers. If you haven't subscribed to our Patreon, go over to patreon.com/slayhouse.
Go ahead and get that done.
Check out our website. Check out our social media. We love all of y'all, and I'll slip back into my Arkansas.
Yeah, we love y'all.
We love y'all, and thank you for all of your support, and especially want to thank our producers at Wayne Howard Studios. You guys are just always terrific.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.